God is going to honor it because he himself will protect his reputation.
Amen.
Come on, you got to see that. Starting Psalms 138, verse 2. I'm reading out the New King James Version. God has a reputation. And it's not just known on the earth. It is known throughout the galaxies. All of heaven knows his reputation. When they talk about him, that's why they'll tell you what he's going to do. When they try to do something, they'll say, what? No, he won't do, he won't allow that. Okay. God's reputation. Psalms 138. I'm reading out the New King James Version. God's reputation is the title of today's message. Got it?
Yes.
Psalms 138. I was going to start in verse 2, but we can start in verse 1. It says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Come on. I will worship towards your holy temple. Glory to God. And praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Yes. Come on, that's powerful. David is making declarations about his God. But I want you to see what he's saying so that you can understand what he's saying so that you can begin to glorify God, because this day we're going to celebrate our King.
Amen.
Come on, you can talk. I always encourage you to talk so you can get some understanding.
Amen.
This is powerful today. This is about God's reputation. Yes. David said in verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple. He's on the earth. Where is God?
In the heavens.
And David has also a temple, or what did he take back? Come on, the Ark of the what?
The covenant.
And he built the temple for it. Do you remember?
Yes.
And David would go in there and worship God.
Yes.
So he's worshiping toward that. In other words, I'm looking for your presence.
Amen.
Come on, I need your presence.
Yes.
And notice what he's saying. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise what?
Your name.
For your loving kindness and your truth. So he's telling him, I'm doing this because you are for real.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Whatever you say, you're going to hold true to it. You don't play. Because you love, but your truth is established. Come on, now watch this. For you have magnified, you know that means words to, means to bring into increase or to bring into clarity, your word above all your name. You have magnified your what?
Word.
Come on, keep reading.
Above all your name.
Now in the Hebrew, there are words that you can interchange to mean the same thing, even if you move them from one place to another, because the understanding is already established in the first part. So he's telling you, God has magnified his word above his name. Now in the Hebrew, that word, thy name, I'm going to give you the synopsis, it's a long word, no use to giving you all that, you won't write it down, let's be real. Thy name in the Hebrew simply means reputation and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Reputation and authority. So when David is worshiping God, he's saying something that's very powerful here. He said, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your reputation.
Amen.
Come on, you've magnified your word above your reputation. Now please write this down if you're taking notes, and please do ever come to the house of God and not take notes. Get the CDs, because you got to listen to it a few times so you can understand it one time.
Amen.
That's why you read the word over and over so you can get something out of it.
Yes.
Write this down, please. God's word is above his reputation. And his reputation will never allow him to violate his word. God's word is above his reputation. And his reputation will never allow him to violate his word. So God's word and his reputation work together so well that you can't tell the difference between one or the other. Come on, that's powerful.
Yes.
Some of us, I'm going to go back in time. I'm not going to talk about what you did, but I'm going to talk about something you didn't do. And I'm including me. Some of us, pre-Christ, our reputation wasn't really good. Because we would say stuff and not follow through.
Amen.
We would tell lies. We had other things going on. We had a sin nature.
Yes.
Come on, we had a sin nature.
Yes.
So we did things sometimes just to get people out of our face.
Amen.
We did things sometimes just so people would leave us alone, and sometimes we told lies to get an advantage on a person because we knew we had manipulated their mind and they would do what we said do, and sometimes we stole from people. We did all kind of crazy stuff. We were just crazy. Yeah. Come on, say, I was crazy.
I was crazy.
Me too, I was crazy. Some of you didn't say it. Say it with me. I was crazy. I didn't know Christ. Say, I didn't know Christ.
I didn't know Christ.
Okay, so you good.
Amen.
Now, why is that important? Because reputation will always precede what anybody else thinks or say about you because of the previous person that engaged with you.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Now you have to understand, the world brought it to a lower level and they call it social media.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
So when you go on social media and say something about someone, whether it be right or wrong, the rest of the people that see it believe that somehow you had an encounter with this person and this was the result.
Right.
So they've already painted a picture of you to those people, though those people don't know you.
Right.
Are you understanding?
Amen.
That's very important.
Amen.
So God is so serious about his reputation that he doesn't want anybody painting a picture about him except himself.
Amen.
That's why he has a problem with liars.
Right.
Because liars tell people about their perception of God without knowing him.
Amen.
Oh boy. So now let's move you back into Christ for those that are in Christ. Okay, you're back in Christ. Now you're in Christ, your reputation affects everyone around you, but it also affects your daddy.
All right.
But watch, this is heavy. But it doesn't affect his reputation, but it affects his reputation in the sense of how people see you in conjunction to your relationship with him.
Amen.
Remember the man who had the son who was a demoniac, had the spirits in him. And he brought him to the disciples and they couldn't cast him out.
Yes.
When Jesus came to the man, he said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, our first thing he said was, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything.
Yes.
So he's saying, I'm understanding this. They're with you. They have no power to cast out the demon. So why should I believe you have any power?
Well,
come on, isn't that what he said?
Yes.
He said, how should I believe you? Jesus said, holy, only believe. Now, this is where we have to get back into Christ. This is some heavy stuff this morning. You got to hold on. Pre-Christ, every time Jesus encountered somebody, he said, be it unto you according to your
faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Be it unto you according to your
faith.
That's pre. That's somebody who doesn't have covenant. Though they are still trying to find and they are Israel, they haven't fully been saved. So the salvation whole package isn't fully there, but it's there.
Right.
So when they needed help, he couldn't just be God, though he was God.
Right.
He needed their faith because their faith opened up the portal which allowed what they needed to come to them.
Yes.
Are you understanding?
Okay.
So I want to try to show you this because I want you to see what's going on, because for years we've been taking responsibility and our reputation has been hurting us, not God.
Amen.
But God is trying to rescue us by his reputation and we've been messing up. So today you're going to see how God's reputation is so powerful. Now this is heavy. Mm-hmm. He's going to make sure that every promise he made you will happen before your feet leave the earth.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Glory.
You're going to do that?
He's going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The biggest thing that he fights against is you. Because you're under a different law now.
Yes, sir.
And the law, man, it's some heavy stuff. And the law that you're now under isn't the law of sin and death. It's the law of liberty in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Pre-Christ, I needed faith to understand things. And though I didn't have the faith that I needed, my faith came through a secondary channel in order to get just what I needed for that moment.
Amen. That's right.
In Christ, I have to learn how to sieve.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Boy, we'll get there. Come on, let's get there. I'm going to show you. Amen. This is heavy because the resurrection was to move you into the sieve. We'll start in Deuteronomy 9. Let's go there and see how God protects himself. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 9:25. I want you to see how you're going to start seeing how your father thinks now. This is dangerous. This is very dangerous because some people, when they find out how God thinks, they try to abuse him by taking advantage of him. That's more than dangerous.
Amen.
That's not good. Yes. Say, that's not good.
That's not good.
Oh, say it like you mean it.
That's not good.
If you know that trying to abuse the Father is not a good move, please don't do it.
Amen.
All right? Now watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 25. All right? This is Moses talking to God about God talking about the children of Israel and him wanting to do something to them. Now you got to understand something. He just doesn't want to do something to the children of Israel. Sometimes he wants to do something to some of us.
That's right.
Because some of us have cut up in our, come on now.
Yes, ma'am.
Since we've been saved, we've cut up.
Yes, ma'am.
And there are sometimes I know if it was not for Christ, he would have done something to us.
Yes.
Now you can sit here and act all religion all you want. The truth of the matter is some of us have been cutting up for a long time.
Yes.
Well, one thing I know, the truth is in here. Thank you, Father. Thus, verse 25, thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. That's Moses talking about Israel.
Amen.
But watch this. Verse 26, therefore I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance. Say, I am.
An inheritance
of God. You got to settle that today.
Whom
you have redeemed through your greatness and whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Who brought them out?
God.
He redeemed them.
Yes.
He brought them out with a mighty hand.
Yes.
So what is Moses doing? He's reminding God of his original word.
Yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yes.
He's telling them, you told me to go get them.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to get rid of them.
Right.
Now watch what he says to God. Verse 27, remember your servants. In other words, he's saying covenant. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or their wickedness of their sin. Lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land which he promised them. And because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and your outstretched arm.
Amen.
Come on, that's powerful.
Amen.
Moses is he's the intercessor. He's between God and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's the deliverer.
Yes.
He is not their intercessor, but he's basically their advocate.
Amen.
He prays for them and everything. He does what he has to do, but he understands something. You sent me to get them out of Egypt. I brought them out. I'm bringing it to my vernacular. You mean to tell me, God, you brought them out to kill them? The land which we came from, not only the land, he's talking the people in all the land. Will they not say? Come on, will they not what? Say. You brought them out and you couldn't take them in, so you killed them. What is he telling God? Your reputation is on the line.
Yes.
You're looking at all their sins instead of the covenant you made.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. That's what he's saying to God. You're looking at all the wrong they're doing, but remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? These are their descendants.
Yes.
Come on.
Isn't that what he said?
He said,
these are their descendants, and you're going to kill their descendants? What about what you promised your servants? Now that's powerful.
Yes, sir.
He is not justifying their sin, but he's telling them, yeah, they're sinning, but there's still hope.
Yeah.
He's reminding him of what he said about them. Because remember, when he talked about bringing them out, he talked about coming from the tribe, a deliverer.
That's right.
From Judah. He's reminding him, there's something in Judah. You can't destroy them all. How can you come if you destroy Judah?
Amen.
Come on, this is powerful.
Amen.
He's reminding God, you're God. Your reputation is at stake. And that's why it says when David was talking, he said, you put your word above your name.
Yes.
In other words, I want to do some stuff to you.
Thank you for joining us.
But I know what I said about you, so I'm going to back off. But I'm going to hope.
You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.